For students listening to this conversation, law students, they may want to be defense lawyers. They find themselves on the opposite side of the table from our government. What do you say to these young people?
Persevere. The system requires an adversarial search for the truth. Government puts forward its evidence, the defense puts forward its evidence, and we put this evidence in front of 12 strangers. They tell us that they will reach a fair verdict according to the law and the evidence, so help them God. I'm sure that occasionally that slips, but persevere.
Have you told everything about this? Is there anything you haven't told, haven't talked about, that you could right now?
Yes. The defense didn't have many good days, given the nature of it. We didn't. But we did have two good days. One was in court the day that I cross-examined Fred Jordan, the chief medical examiner, and Dr. Jordan candidly and truthfully caused the government great indigestion when he said, we have 12 victims with traumatically amputated left legs, and we have 13 left legs. That was the keystone of the defense, not foreign involvement or any of that. That was the keystone. That got us a front-page story with photograph in the New York Times. Our expert witness was the retired chief state pathologist of Northern Ireland, Sir T.K. Marshall, who explained to the jury how that could happen. That was a good day. But I'll tell you one other good day we had. On April the 19th, 1997, the second anniversary of the bombing, the trial was underway in Denver. Every church in Denver that had a carillon told it 168 times. I sat in my apartment, which was, I think, 34 floors above the streets of Denver, and I'm telling you, I thought I heard every one of them because it was a deafening sound. It was silent, and these bells tolled 168 times while the trial's going on. But I knew something that the government didn't know. The next morning, the Archbishop of the Archdiocese of Denver, from the same lectern, same pulpit at Holy Family Cathedral that John Paul II had preached, read a pastoral letter. And he said that capital punishment in all circumstances is contrary to the teachings of Christ and his church. And he had instructed every parish priest in the archdiocese to read the letter from the pulpit of their church at 11 a.m. Sunday morning. The government was not counting on that. It was a great moment. The Pope wrote a letter, personal letter, hand-wrote to the President of the United States, delivered through the Apostolic Nuncio in Washington, the embassy of the Holy See, asking the President to commute Mr. McVeigh's sentence to life. That was an incredibly generous thing to do. During the planning, as we grappled with the issue of if the jury convicted Mr. McVeigh, what could we say that would cause them not to give him the death penalty? Up to that time, we had researched this, and there was no case in the United States in a death-eligible state, because not all states have capital punishment, no one who had committed more than 6 first-degree murders had escaped the death penalty. We had 168. Now, Terry Nichols did in McAllister. But that was very good lawyering. Within the McVeigh defense camp, there was a dispute of how to do the second stage. I felt that none of the traditional reasons of mitigation would apply. But Dick Burr, who was in charge of the second stage, you know, we had 5 teams and he was in charge of team 2, knew a friend that knew Archbishop Desmond Tutu, and he said, I think that we might be able to get Archbishop Tutu to come to Denver to testify in the second stage. I said, Dick, Archbishop Tutu is a political figure, not a religious figure. I mean, he's nominally a religious figure, but he's mainly a political figure, and there is no way in hell that he's going to come to Denver and get on the stand and say to an American jury, don't give Tim McVeigh the death penalty. He said, well, then what do you suggest? I said, well, the thought occurs to me we should go to our natural allies. And he said, who are our natural allies? And I said, the Holy See. Tim McVeigh is a Catholic. He was raised a Catholic. He was baptized as a Catholic. He was confirmed as a Catholic. The Pope and the Catholic Church's position is they're against the death penalty. They are natural allies. So we need to enlist our natural allies. Not in stage one, in stage two. They are wonderful men. They're very generous. They did not fail us. They did not fail us. Our mission failed. The church did not fail us. And even as they helped the victims, and even as they knew the Thurlow Cathedral had been severely damaged, and the house where the priests lived had to be destroyed, and even as they fed the families every day in Denver and provided them sanctuary, they did not forget one of their own. So are there still stories about the Oklahoma City bombing that haven't been told? Of course. And there will always be.